So I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And today I'm preaching on the subject, an unexpected invitation. An unexpected invitation. Something unexpected happened at the corner of Sheridan and Broadway in Oklahoma City on a cold day, December 6th, 1964. Cold day, right on the sidewalk in the middle of Oklahoma City. The next day, there were newspaper stories all across the United States about what happened that day. I'll read you the headline from the New York Times story. It said this: woman, 31, gives birth on street without aid. Woman, 31, gives birth on street without aid. That was the headline in the New York Times. The first paragraph of the story had three sentences. A cab driver drove away. A hotel refused to lend a blanket. A crowd of onlookers did nothing. Well, what happened on that cold day right here in Oklahoma City on December 6th, 1964? There was a 31-year-old woman. She gave birth on the sidewalk at that intersection of Sheridan and Broadway. And people were standing around watching as she gave birth. No one did anything. She had a friend who was there with her, and he flagged down a cab. The cab pulled up to the curb, saw what was happening, and then pulled away. That same friend walked across the street to a hotel, asked if he could borrow a blanket, and the porter at the hotel said, "No, you may not have a blanket." He walked back, and still this woman, 6-pound baby boy, newborn son, 31-year-old mom, people standing around looking, and still no one did anything. Until finally, a former Oklahoma representative, an Oklahoma State representative, his name was Bob Cunningham, and he came by. He called the emergency line, whatever that would have been. He called for the fire department. The fire department came, and still they were waiting on an ambulance to come until finally Bob Cunningham, the Oklahoma State representative, Fire Captain Bill Latham, made a decision, since the ambulance had not come yet, just to put the mother and the newborn son in the back of Bob Cunningham's car and to take them to the hospital. The next day, the story was all over the news, all over the country, and it reported that mother and baby were well at Mercy Hospital. Had you ever heard of that story before? It's a true story. I don't know why it happened. I've told you everything I know. I went and read the New York Times story from back in 1964, and I saw it. I don't know why it happened, but I know this. A cab driver, a hotel worker, and a crowd of onlookers missed an invitation to show love to a mother and her newborn son. And I think one of the reasons that that story was picked up all over the country was because it reminded people of another mother heavy with child, of whom the Bible says there was no place for them. Today we're going to talk about the unexpected invitation of Christmas. Stand up as we read God's word together, if you will. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. The Bible says this: "And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the word of God. Join with me as we pray. Father in heaven, how we love you and praise you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, thank you for the invitation that you extend to us to see, to know, to love, and to serve your son Jesus. Lord God, I pray that you would move me out of the way and that you would speak a word to your people today. I pray for lost people in this room, that today they might hear your word and know how much you love them and how much they need you, that today they might turn to Jesus. And I pray for believers here, Lord, that you would reawaken in us a love and commitment to Jesus. For we love you, Lord, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' holy name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says there was no place for them in the inn. Someone missed out. Someone rejected an invitation to experience the birth and the glory of Jesus. And yet the Word of God says that God unexpectedly sent an angelic messenger to come to shepherds of all people and to extend to them that same unexpected invitation to come and meet the newborn Son of God, Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about the unexpected invitation of Christmas. And I want you to notice several things with me about that invitation. First of all, the Bible says Christmas is an invitation that comes from heaven. This is an invitation that comes not from man, not from mankind, but from heaven to earth. It comes from heaven. Look in your Bible in verse 9 of the text. The Bible says of these shepherds, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. There were these shepherds out in their field, far away from everyone, far away from the lights of the town. It was pitch black darkness, and all of a sudden, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone in every direction, radiated all around them. They were frightened at what they saw because they understood that this angel and the glory they saw came from heaven. Notice that phrase, of the Lord, in verse 9. It's repeated 2 times. An angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord. That phrase, of the Lord, is a reminder of the source of the angelic messenger, the source of the radiating, glorious light from God. The source was God Himself. This message is a message. This invitation is an invitation that comes from heaven. It's important to know, when you receive the invitation to receive Jesus as your Savior, it's not just an invitation from a preacher or a teacher or another person. It's an invitation that comes from God to you because God loves you so much. And the source of the invitation gives it significance and importance. I walked into a woman's house, and there on the wall of her house, just as soon as you came in, you could see framed on her wall an envelope and a card. And the postmark on the envelope was from many, many years ago. And so it was an old envelope and an old card. But there they were, framed and matted on the wall of her house. And on the envelope, you could read her husband's name and her name and their address. And then on the card, you could read, the President of the United States and the First Lady of the United States had invited them to reception at the White House. She had kept that invitation, put it in a frame, put it up on the wall, and put it there for everyone to see as soon as they came into her house for years. Why? Because the source of the invitation gave it significance. Can I tell you something? Someone far, far more important than the President has invited you to something far, far greater than a reception at the White House. God has invited you you to come to His Son, Jesus Christ, and experience His salvation. And so the invitation, the Bible says, comes from heaven. But then secondly, the Bible says the invitation of Christmas extends to everyone. It's an invitation that extends to everyone. Look in verses 10 and 11 of the text, and there we read the wording of this invitation. The Bible says, "The angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news.'" I want to stop right there. It's good news. This is a good news invitation. It's a reminder to us. The gospel is good news. Praise the Lord for that. We were sinners separated from God, but God loved us so much that good news, He sent His Son Jesus. And good news, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And good news, He rose from the grave to give eternal life. And good news, He saves everyone who calls on His name. It's a good news invitation, but then it's also a joyous invitation. I bring to you good news of great joy. The word great there in the original language is actually the word mega. It's mega joy. We experience mega joy when we come to Jesus. It's a good news invitation. It's a joyous invitation. It is a personal invitation. Look in verse 11. "For unto you is born this day." The shepherds were rejected by most people. They lived out in the fields. They stayed dirty most of the time. They were considered to be a low class of people. They could not testify in court because no one trusted their word to be true. They could not go into the temple because they stayed dirty and nasty most of the time. And even though they were often raising sheep that would be offered as sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem, they themselves could not go in because they just were always too dirty to come into that holy place. And yet God came to them and the angel said to them, unto you shepherds, people like you, God loves you. It's a personal invitation. Can I just remind you of something? The good news of Jesus is unto you. It's for you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you think about yourself, no matter what other people may say about you, no matter what your guilt or your baggage may be, it is for you. It's a personal invitation. And then also notice, it is an urgent invitation. "For unto you is born this day." The angel wanted to make sure the shepherds knew it was something they needed to respond to that day. It's an urgent invitation. It's a saving invitation. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Someone has come to save us from our sins. And then it's a transforming invitation. Who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah? The Christ has come. And when you come to Him, He transforms your life because He is Lord of heaven and earth. Now, I told you all of those things about this invitation, but I skipped over one thing. Look back up in verse 10. The Bible says it's a for all people invitation. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This invitation was to all the people of Israel. And then that invitation was expanded to include all the people of all the earth. The gospel is for you. Jesus saves everyone who comes to Him. And everyone who desires can come to Him and be saved. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever you think about yourself, you can come to Him because this invitation extends to everyone. Number three, the Word of God shows us Christmas is an invitation that promises peace. It's an invitation that promises peace. Look in verses 13 and 14 of the text. The Bible says, "And suddenly there was with the one angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God." All of a sudden, this one angel that had made the announcement was joined by a whole multitude of angels. I don't know whether it was 10 angels or 100 angels or 10,000 angels or 10,000 times 10,000 angels. The Bible says it was a multitude of the heavenly host. The word host there means army. There was an army of angels appearing to these shepherds. And the Bible says in verse 14, as they praised God, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom God is pleased." This is an invitation that promises peace. Our world is looking for peace. And the problem is, our world thinks that peace is something that we can work up on our own. I remember when I was in elementary school, our class learned a song, and it's not really a Christmas song, but it was a song that we sang at Christmas time, and they taught us the words, and we sang it for a school assembly or something like that, and I still remember the words of the song. The song is, "Let There Be Peace on Earth." Do you remember that song? It says, "Let there be peace on earth." I can still remember the words. "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God as our Father, brothers, all are we. Let me walk with my brother in perfect harmony. Let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my solemn vow to take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." It's a sweet song and a wonderful sentiment, but it's not going to happen. Peace on earth will not begin with me. And in case you're wondering, it won't begin with you either. Because peace can't begin with us. Peace is not something that human beings can work up and bring about. Peace has to be sent down from God, or else it will never happen. Notice what the angel said. The Bible says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." There will never be peace on earth until there is peace between us and our God. And there can never be peace between us and God until that thing which serves as the obstacle of peace is removed. There is hostility between us and God caused by our own sin. And as long as that sin is there between us and God, the Bible calls it enmity or hostility. It stands between us and God, and it keeps us from experiencing our peace. Here's why God sent his Son. He sent his Son to bear in his own body the punishment for our sin, so that he could remove that obstacle and create peace between us and the God who made us, between you and the God who made you. When you come to Jesus as your Savior, he gives you peace with God. Praise God for that today. And then that peace that he gives, not the peace that we work up, the peace that he gives begins to extend to others, so that we can have peace in our marriage, and we can have peace with our family, and we can have peace with our neighbors, and we can be instruments of God's peace, not because of something that we've done, but because of what God has done in sending his Son. He sent his Son to bring us peace. And the Word of God promises that a day is coming when Jesus Christ is coming again, and he will rule and reign as king over all the earth for 1,000 years, and he will establish real peace on earth. The only peace that there really can be, the peace that Jesus gives. And so the Bible says it's an invitation that promises peace. Number four, the Word of God shows us this. Christmas is an invitation that demands a response. It's an invitation that demands a response. So think about this. These shepherds have been out in their field. It had been dark and nighttime, and all of a sudden they saw this angel, and they heard about a Savior that had been born in the city of David, Bethlehem, just close by to them, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. They heard that this baby was going to bring peace from God. They had heard all of these things. They had seen and heard as the angels gave glory to God. They heard all of those things. And then the Bible says suddenly, just as suddenly as it happened, the Bible says in verse 15, the angels went away from them into heaven. And all of a sudden, the shepherds found themselves once again in darkness. What did they do? Well, here's what they didn't do. They didn't say, "Well, we'll just stay out here and just keep watching our sheep. And, you know, maybe one day we'll find out more about this. This has been really interesting." They didn't do that. That's not what they did. Notice what they did. The Bible says, when the angel went away from them into heaven, verse 15, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They said, let us go. In fact, the language in English really doesn't communicate the urgency with which they spoke. If I could sort of paraphrase, they said, come on, right now, let's go. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing. We've heard about it, but we want to see it. And the Bible says they went with haste. They went with urgency, and they found Mary and Joseph and that baby who had been born a Savior, Christ the Lord. It's a reminder, the invitation that God gives us demands a response. You may have heard the story of a missionary whose son was climbing a tree, and the missionary looked and said to his son, all of a sudden he said, stop, son, right now. He said, son, I want you to drop from where you are, drop out of that tree. I want you to drop down to the ground. I want you to get on your hands and knees, and I want you to crawl toward me. And his son didn't hesitate. He dropped from the limb of that tree. He hit the ground. He crawled all the way to his dad. He did it without questioning. He did it without hesitation. He did it without knowing that his dad saw something that the son could not see. His dad saw a deadly poisonous snake on one of the limbs of that tree getting closer and closer to his son. There was an urgency that demanded a response. Listen to me. When God speaks to you, when he invites you to salvation through his son, that's an urgent invitation. God promises to save you today. He doesn't promise you another opportunity. He promises to save you today. He doesn't promise you a tomorrow. That's why when the Word of God talks about being saved, it always talks about now. The Word of God says, behold, now is the appointed time. Behold, now is the day of God's favor. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It always talks about it now. That's true for salvation, but dear Christian friend, could I also tell you, it's true for anything that God calls us to do. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When God calls us to obey, he calls us right now. The shepherds heard, and so they went. They went with urgency. They went without delay because they understood that the invitation of Christmas is an invitation that requires a response. Number five, as we look at this text, I want you to notice this. Christmas is an invitation that must be shared. It must be shared. And so the shepherds got to Bethlehem and they saw Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, and they knew that that was the sign that God had given them that this was a Savior, Christ the Lord. And the Bible says this in verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So after they saw that baby, they began to go out and tell everyone what they had heard, what the angel had told them, that that day in the city of David had been born a Savior, Christ the Lord, that the one who would bring peace to earth had come, that the one that Israel had been looking for had come, and that there was salvation available to everyone who would come to him. They told everyone what they had heard concerning this child. And notice what the Bible says, and all who heard it, verse 18, and all who heard it wondered. That word wonder means to hear something enthusiastically. It means to hear something and to be amazed and to be astonished at what you have heard. I remind you of what I've said earlier. The gospel is good news. And it's amazing how hungry people are to simply hear the good news of the gospel. This weekend, I was preaching at a pastor's conference in Phoenix, Arizona. And on Friday, after we'd had our afternoon session, we went out to eat. And the host pastor and the other speakers went out to eat at a restaurant. I won't tell you the name of the restaurant, but it involved two large stone horses out in front of the restaurant and lettuce wraps as appetizers and the initials PF. But anyway, won't tell you where we were eating. Anyway, we were eating at this restaurant, and there were maybe, I guess, about five of us sitting around the table. And sitting next to me is a man that's been my friend for almost 25 years. His name's Dr. Matt Queen. And Matt is professor of evangelism at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary down in Fort Worth. Now, there are many different reasons that I would support Southwestern Seminary, but if the only reason were Dr. Matthew Queen, that would be enough for me. I love this guy with all my heart. And I've known him from the time when I was a professor and he was a student at Southeastern Seminary. I've just seen God use him in incredible ways. And one of the things I love about Matt is the way he just always is looking for opportunities to share the gospel. And so as we were at the table, our waitress, we learned her name, was Madison, and Matt asked her a question. Now, Matt sort of has a high voice when he talks. He's from the mountains of North Carolina. He talks with a high-pitched voice. He says, Madison, have you heard any good news today? And she said, yes, I have. No, she didn't have a low voice. Anyway, I'm not going to do his voice anymore. I shouldn't have done his voice like that. I hope he didn't learn that I did this. Anyway, he says, Madison, have you heard any good news today? And she said, well, somebody wished me a Merry Christmas. That was good news. And he said, well, yes, it was. He said, I've got some good news that I'd like to share. Can I share my good news with you, Madison? And she said, sure, you can. He said, God loves you, and God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus. Jesus came at Christmas time because God loves you. And Jesus is God's son, and Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave so that you can be forgiven of your sins and receive God's gift of heaven and eternal life because God loves you so much. And he shared it better than I just shared it, but that's the message that he shared with her. And then he asked her a question. He said, Madison, has anybody ever told you that news before? And she said, and she was just as kind as she could be and just as open as she could be. She said, no, nobody's ever told me that before. Phoenix, Arizona, 2 days ago. Nobody's ever told me that before. He said, well, Madison, listen, I want to ask you another question if you don't mind. She said, no, I don't mind at all. He said, and you're not going to offend me by how you answer this question, but I just want to ask you, did what I just say about Jesus, does that make sense to you? Does it seem like it makes sense? And she said, you know, I'm not sure. She said, it's all new to me. She said, I have friends who are religious, and I really haven't understood why they believe what they believe, and this is really the most I've ever heard about this. And so it doesn't quite make sense to me. But we talked to her more. Now, I'll tell you this. Madison did not receive Jesus Christ as her Savior at that table on Friday night, but she was absolutely amazed and open to hear the good news of the gospel. That was in Phoenix, Arizona, at that restaurant. Do you think anybody in Oklahoma City at the restaurants we go to, you think any of them would say, I've never heard that news before? I think they would. There are people in your family. There are people in your workplace, people you're going to see in the next 6 or 7 days or the next 2 weeks who need to hear the good news of Jesus and who may be much more open to hear it than we often tell ourselves they are. We tell ourselves all kinds of reasons why we can't share. But the Bible says that these shepherds, as they went out, told what they had heard. And though they were shepherds, and though the message they were proclaiming was revolutionary and something no one had ever heard before, the Bible says all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. It's a message that must be shared. It's an invitation that God gives you to extend to someone else. That's why God sent you wherever he puts you. He puts you there as his angel. An angel is a messenger. He puts you there as his messenger to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Number six, the Word of God shows us this. Christmas is an invitation that brings salvation. It's an invitation that brings salvation. Look in verse 21 of the text. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. He was called Jesus. And that name had been given from heaven. If you look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel Gabriel came to Joseph and said to him, you will call his name Jesus. And then the angel said this, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is a saving name. The name Jesus literally means the Lord saves. That's why God gave that baby that name. It describes what he does. Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. The invitation to come to Jesus is an invitation that brings salvation, and it's an invitation that changes us forever. The shepherds walked away from the manger forever changed. Why? Because they had met Jesus, the one who saves from sin. And you know, the fact that we need to be saved reminds us there is really something to be saved from. Hell is real. If hell were not real, Christmas would not exist. God sent his son Jesus so that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his son Jesus because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God sent his son Jesus to transform us and to save us. And when he saves you, it changes every part of you. I heard a story about some shepherds in the Rocky Mountain area of the United States. And they discovered at a creek near where they were grazing their sheep, they discovered gold in one of the creek beds of this creek. And so they said, well, we've got to come back and we've got to get more of this gold and we've got to pan for it and we've got to bring it out and we can be really rich men. But they said, we can't let anybody know what we found. And so they made a plan. They said, okay, we're going to go back into town and you go to this store and you get this and you go to this other store and you get this. And we're not going to all go to one store because people will figure out what we're doing. And so we're going to go to different stores and don't anybody tell anybody what we found. And so they went back to town and one went to one store and another went to another store and another went to another store. Nobody told anybody. And as they came back to that creek, every one of those shepherds had other people following them back from the town. They couldn't keep it a secret. They hadn't said anything about it, but everybody could tell they had discovered something just from the expressions on their faces. When you meet Jesus, and when Jesus changes you, other people will be able to tell. Amen? And God calls us to tell other people. It is an invitation that brings salvation. Some of you are in this room, and more than anything else, today, you need to respond to the invitation to be saved through Jesus Christ. Today, I'm not asking you whether you've been baptized. That's important, but that's not what I'm asking you. I'm not asking you whether you're a member of this church or somebody else's church. That it's important to be part of a church. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you this one thing. Do you know, just as surely as you know you're sitting where you are right now, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you have a home in heaven when you die? Do you know that you have peace with God? Do you know that you've been saved? If you would say, well, I'm not sure, or I know I'm not saved, right now, Jesus is extending an invitation to you to be saved. And his invitation always comes with an RSVP. You always have to respond. So I want you to take a piece of paper out just in your imagination. And I want you to write down at the top of that page, Dear Jesus, today I received an invitation to be saved. A preacher named Stephen Rummage invited me to be saved. But Jesus, today I reject your invitation. And here's my reason. And just put whatever your reason is. Whether you say, oh, I need more time, or I'll do it later, or whatever it would be. Just write down whatever your reason would be for rejecting Jesus' invitation. And can I tell you something? There's no reason and there's no excuse that's worth going to hell, going to hell for. There's no reason, there's no excuse that's worth missing heaven. So let's do something. Let's just tear up that sheet of paper. And let's get out another sheet of paper. And here's what I want you to write. Dear Jesus, on December 19th, 2021, I heard your invitation to be saved. And Jesus, I say yes. Jesus, I say yes, I know you're God's son. I say yes, I know you died on the cross for me. I say yes, I know you want to save me and you will. So Jesus, I say yes to you. I make you my Savior and my Lord. And then sign your name at the bottom. It's just as simple as that. When you say yes to him, he promises to save you.